Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Money Talking from WNYC. Good morning, I'm Charlie Herman. And here with me, WNYC contributors Joan O'Sara with the New York Times and Rana Faruhar with Time Magazine. And let's get right to it, because really there's only one business story that's happening right now, and that is the debt ceiling. If Congress doesn't increase the amount of money that the government can borrow, then by next Thursday, the country will be at risk of defaulting on its debt. Basically, we'll become deadbeats and we won't be able to pay our bills. So, Joe, what effect would this have on the economy?
Oh, it would only be the most cataclysmic thing to happen since Lehman Brothers, and probably would be even worse. The thing you have to understand is U.S. debt is the backbone of the world's financial system. Treasury bills are the only risk-free asset in the world. And if you suddenly have to price in risk, if you have to think about risk with a treasury bill, you completely change the dynamic. And and already you're seeing money market funds getting rid of short-term treasury bills because they're worried that there'll be a default. That is the last thing you would ever think would happen.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating because not just this latest episode, but the last 3 years, you know, we played chicken like this in 2011. There have been any kind of number of debt fights. All of this is shifting the way people think about risk. And I think that there's a lot of talk about really safe blue chip stocks, for example, big multinational firms that are hedged across a lot of different countries, becoming perceived as less risky in some way than the debt of countries like the U.S. or many parts of Europe.
I mean, what you're basically saying, it's better to get into the stock market where prices can go up and down and can shift rapidly versus taking on something as solid as a U.S. Treasury.
No, I'm saying something a little different, which is that if you don't believe that the government is going to pay back its debt, then suddenly holding a low interest rate treasury bill rather than, say, a very high quality stock that pays out a 3% dividend that beats inflation doesn't make so much sense anymore. And I think that's what Joe's getting at.
So, Joe, you raised this issue a moment ago about Fidelity, the nation's largest money market fund manager, that they've sold off its short-term U.S. government debt. What exactly does this mean and how significant is it?
Well, what it means is that Fidelity is actually worried that when these treasury bills come due, that the government won't be able to pay the money back. That's what they're worried about. It's really quite astonishing. You'll recall that one of the huge events in the financial crisis was when the Reserve Fund, a money market fund, had Lehman bonds. They went bust. And as they say, the fund broke the buck. And that was a huge event because people have the expectation that money market funds will always pay you back everything you put into it. And so the thought that the giant American and presumably worldwide money market funds are getting rid of treasuries is a very scary thing.
But there are those members in Congress, Rana, who say that we can manage through this. It's not as severe as Joe's describing. It may not be that bad. Let me ask you, on Wall Street, in corporate America, do they agree with this perspective, or what are they saying when they look at that?
They absolutely don't agree with that perspective. I think that what you're talking about is very much political posturing, and I think that everybody on Wall Street thinks that if we were to truly default on our debt, not to pay back our creditors, that would be, as Joe says, a catastrophic event. I think what's interesting is that the markets haven't been down as much as you would think and haven't been quite as jittery as you would think, although they have been jittery, because Wall Street just can't believe that this is going to happen. There is a psychic disconnect between Wall Street and the Beltway. It's always the same in this situation.
I actually think the scariest thing about this time around is precisely that there are congressmen saying, oh, it wouldn't be so bad if we defaulted. So unlike the last few times when everybody seemed to be in a dither about it and there was a willingness to kick the can just to avoid this prospect, this time there are all these Tea Party Republicans saying, well, let's default. How bad could it be? Yes, it could be really, really, really bad.
Rana, this week the president nominated Janet Yellen to succeed Ben Bernanke as the chairman of the Federal Reserve. But has the shutdown, the fight over the debt ceiling, is it going to complicate her confirmation, and does it complicate what the Fed has been trying to do to get the economy going?
You know, she's the most experienced person ever to be a nominee. There's no reason why she shouldn't be the Fed chairman. In terms of what she has to do next, I think it does complicate it. Now, Yellen has said in speeches and shown by her actions that she's been more willing to keep the Federal Reserve's program of asset buying going longer than some others would like to see it. There's always the risk if you keep throwing that much money into the market that you're going to see bubbles. But the Fed's mandate is to to keep both unemployment and inflation low. And when you've got the shutdown creating such a headwind for growth, you are going to have potentially higher unemployment and a slowdown in the economy. So that makes it harder for her to stop this program, and that means that we're going to risk market bubbles.
You know, there is one reason why her confirmation might not be as easy breezy as people think, and that is if you didn't like Bernanke and what he was doing, you'll hate Yellen and what she's doing. And there are a lot of senators who don't like what Bernanke has done, who would like to see the country in more of an austerity program, who would like him to turn the money spigot off. And I think she'll be questioned pretty closely.
Mm. So normally at this point, I'd ask you to tell me the stories you're looking ahead to in the upcoming weeks. But I've got a big think question. If investors, domestic and foreign, decide that, hey, we're not too sure about America's ability to pay its debts, could we be at this point where America is no longer at the center of the financial world, where the dollar is not king, Rana?
I think it is the question. And it's come up every single time we've had a debt standoff, and certainly in 2011 when we had the debt ceiling debacle in August. At that point, if you look at foreign purchases of U.S. Treasury bills, they start to slow down. They slow down before those kinds of square-offs and during, and then they usually pick up pretty quickly afterwards. But, you know, every single time there's a delay, and it could be that, you know, after two, three, four times go around with this, you are going to see people throwing up their hands and saying, okay, we're going to put more in Europe, which is recovering now, or in the emerging markets, which are in better shape than they were 2 years ago as well.
Joe, are you worried?
Yes, I am. The U.S. absolutely has the ability to pay its debts. It is still the currency of choice around the world. And so the issue isn't a money issue, and it's not an economic issue. It's a political issue. If our Congress continues to be as polarized and to come to the edge as often, eventually the rest of the world is going to throw up their hands and say, we got to find a better way.
Well, we'll be watching the debate over the debt ceiling and all the week's financial news at WNYC.org/business. You can take this program with you as a podcast available on iTunes. Rana Faruhar with Time Magazine and Jonah Serra with The New York Times. Thanks as always.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Charlie Herman. This is Money Talking from WNYC.